during the storm, that was the one part that kept me calm, is that the peace was so deep inside. And I kept saying, God, my normal body would be all over the place, but I'm not a normal body. I'm watching destruction. I'm watching storms. I'm watching stuff. And the more calm that I was, the more it irritated people around me. The more at peace that I was, all it did was bring more irritation. Now, I want you to try these words on for size. Say, Lord Jesus, we're very grateful for the gift of peace in the midst of a storm. Amen? And I'd like you to go to Matthew chapter 13. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I am going to read a part of it so that you'll understand His plan versus my plan. His plan versus your plan. Amen? Now, the first verse that I want you to look at is verse 40. So I'm not starting where it begins. I'm starting where I want you to concentrate. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. You say, well, wait a minute. Are you talking about the end of the world? No. I'm talking about the end of an age. When Jesus was born, the Romans changed their calendar. That was the end of one age. If I go in the back there and I get the Jewish calendar, you'd find that it doesn't say 2011. The Jews are still running on their old calendar. And we honor the feasts of God on those times, yes. But our country and the majority of the world runs on 2011 right now. 2011 years for what? Since Christ was what? Why? Every time you put 2011, you are declaring that it's been 2011 years, 2011 years, since the birth of Christ. Was that a change in the age? Yes, it was. Now, if you go to 1 Peter, you'd find that the Lord says that 1 year is as 1,000 years for the Lord. Jesus says, after 2 days, I will revive and I will rise again. Did he come out of the grave on the third day? Are you ready to come out of your grave on the third day? Uh-huh. So as the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin. Woo! Did you hear that? Is it going to be you that's going to try to clean yourself up?
No.
Would you please retire from trying so hard you're just getting wiped out for nothing? Hebrews chapter 1 says, The angels of the Lord are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who are inheriting salvation. If you're expecting to save yourself and clean yourself up, wonderful, enjoy the trip, but I'm not going with you. Because you're going to get awful tired scrubbing yourself clean and find out that you can't clean your act up. How many have had a problem with their act? How many have found that it's not quite perfect yet? Even if you struggle for year after year after year after year, you still look at yourself and you say, what a mess. And God says, dummy, get off the case. You can't do it. Did it say here, the Son of Man will send out his angels? Yep. If that's what it says, then you might as well get with the act. If you haven't got enough angels on the job, ask for a few extra.
Amen.
You say, oh, I'm so darn simple. Yeah, it's simple. He's the Savior. It's not you trying to make an act up, trying to become perfect on your own, and then you're going to be so proud that you're going to walk around and nobody will be able to stand you. How many have found a few religious Christians that are perfect in their own eyes and you can't stand them? And you wonder what's wrong with the body of Christ? Well, we're so holy, we look down on everybody that's not like me. Pretty sick world and pretty sick Christians. Those who have declared that they can't do it are the submissive ones. Those who have declared that Jesus can clean them up are the ones that are under construction. That's you and me. And they will what? They will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace where there is weeping, or will be weeping, and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous, that's you, then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. You say, well, I have ears, but I'm not quite understanding. Well, maybe it's time that you take the Bible for yourself and get a clue. Don't take my word for it. I didn't write it. The Holy Ghost did. And the Holy Ghost can clean up your act a lot better than you can clean yourself up. And if you want an example, you can take a good look at St. Peter. He's watching Jesus getting himself shackled, then whipped. And Jesus shows up, and he walks by, and Peter has one of the maids saying to him, I know you're from Galilee. Your accent gives you away. And Peter says, uh-uh. Oh, yeah, I've seen you with that guy over there. And Jesus says, uh-uh. Or Peter says, uh-uh. I never knew him. And he denies him three times. And then the Lord looks at him with love in his eye, reminding him of the prophetic word he had given him in the garden. Before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me. Did Peter know what was inside of him? No. But if you look at Peter 50 days later in the book of Acts, it says he preached a sermon to those that he was afraid of, and 3,000 bowed their knee that one day and got baptized. One sermon. Same man. The only thing that was different is God has released the tongues of fire to burn the chaff. That was the only difference. I remember 1977 February like yesterday. And I got Janet eyeballing me right now. And your daddy says to me, what are you doing Wednesday night? And on Wednesday night, we went to a little tiny church in West Warren. And the second time I went, God baptized me with the Holy Ghost and I came out with new tongues. And I've never been the same since. And that was Ray DeMers's fault. He had to move him and his family all the way from California in a little tiny U-Haul truck, put it in my warehouse, and then, believe it or not, David and Janet moved in our apartment upstairs with his mom and dad. They were right up the stairs. We had those stairs half worn out. They would come down and we would go up. It was the most awesome, revelatory season of my life. And just a few weeks ago, Janet, I shared this and I want to share it with you while you're here. There was one particular, I had been going to Our Lady of Sorrows for a retreat, because good Catholics go for a retreat. They go backwards. I don't know why they go backwards, but that's what we did. And I retreated with everybody else, and I was about to celebrate 20 years of going there every year. But I heard that there was a charismatic priest coming up from Connecticut, and I went to this incredible experience of 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, of Holy Ghost meetings. And when I walked into Janet and her mom and dad were there, and there was a whole group of people. They were all celebrating. My wife was there. I forgot who else, but I'm sure your aunt and a lot of relatives. It was a party. Sunday afternoon party for supper. And I showed up, and I was wired and full of the Holy Ghost. I probably would have had a good competition with St. Peter on the day of Pentecost. And this one lady, I don't know her name. I don't remember. I don't even remember her face, so I don't know who it is. And I'm not accusing her. But I came out of there, and they all wanted to know how was the retreat. And I said, oh, we went forward. And we started, you know Kim with his big mouth. It had been blessed by the fire of God. And this one lady looked at me, and she looks at somebody else, and she says, you know, he'll calm down. He'll be normal pretty soon. And I looked at her, and I said, I never want to go back to normal. Normal sucks. Ain't going there. Amen. Don't want to even think about it, and I will not agree with you, lady. In case you forgot, I got worse. You know why? Because today, I know what God did. He changed me that day. He changed me week after week after week after week. And you know what? He's not done yet. Because his angels are still on the job burning the chaff. You say, how come it took so long? Because maybe I'm a little stubborn like some of, well, I won't tell you, some. Maybe like I was, or maybe like your relatives, but maybe not you. But I have had ears to hear. Because they were given to me as a gift from God. I want you to back this up now. Verse 16. Blessed are you. Blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men long to see what you see, but did not see it, and hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Listen to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom of God and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is what the seed sown along the path. The one who receives the seed that fell on rocky ground or rocky places is the man who hears the words and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no roots, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, it's the word of God that the enemy wants to steal. He quickly falls away. The one who receives the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, and make it unfruitful. But the one who receives the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop, yielding 160 and 30 times what it was sown. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sows good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seeds in your field? Where did the weeds come from? And the enemy did this," he replied. The servant asked him, "Do you want us to go out and pull them out?" Jesus said, "No." He answered, "Because while you are pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. Let them both grow together until the harvest." The harvest is a season. The harvest is a time in the age of God. The harvest is what the Holy Spirit is trying to educate you and me about. We've lived 2,000 years since the first resurrection. Now, when it started with 2011, we started the third year, the third millennium. The harvest season is upon us. The testings that we see around us, the storms of life, the storms in the world, etc. All of it is to bring an awareness. Watch now, verse 30. "Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time I will tell the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds and tie them into bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" He told him another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it was small, of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in it and in its branches." He told them still another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like a yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough." Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophets. "I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world." 36. "Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field.'" Why do you think they're interested in the weeds in the field? Why do you think that particular hit home? Because undoubtedly they were trying to awaken themselves to understand. 37. "He answered, 'The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. And the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The good seeds stands for the sons of the kingdom." We've been looking at Romans chapter 8, finding who the sons of God are. They are chosen vessels. They're going to what? They're going to shine like the sun. Verse 43. "The weeds are the sons of the evil one." Did you hear that? So there's a group of sons that belong to God, but there's also a group of sons that belong to who?
The enemy.
To the enemy. Okay, listen carefully. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. And the harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. Clear, isn't it? As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. So the Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin, and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. He who has ears, let him hear. I'm trying to give you a wake-up call. I'm trying to let you know that God knows whose time it is. And when it's time for him to remove the sons of darkness, he will. It's not your job. You don't need to go after those who are worshiping enemy forces, enemy spirits, etc., etc., and those that are involved in witchcraft. Your job is to intercede and pray for them. And pray that they have ears and eyes that will work. John Paul Jackson was on the Praise the Lord program a little while back, and one of the comments he made, he had a communication time with the head high priest of witchcraft in the city of Boston. And they communicated back and forth. And this man said, "I can't look at you. Can't stand the light that comes from you." That's your future. That's your future. Verse 43, I want to concentrate on, then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. I didn't write it. I'm just trying to give you a wake-up call. If you trust his light to put out the darkness that is trying to overwhelm you, you're going to make it. He'll keep protecting you. And many have an area in their hearts that may not be perfect yet, but I guarantee you this, God's angels are more than able to finish the good job that he started in each and every one of you. And you know what? There's hope for us. Amen. If you've got a neighbor, grab a hand. Say, Heavenly Father, today, I know I'm under construction. My Heavenly Father's on the job. King Jesus is not asleep. He's got his angels working on me. And I'm going to be praying for each of you. As the Holy Ghost tells me to. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. You are the author. You are the finisher of everything that we are. And you will complete your mission. You will complete your mission. God was saying to both of you that he's blessing you back for what you gave out this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Share some hugs with each other.